Joined now by John Martin. John Martin is half of the Jason and John show every single day from 11 until 2. Also covers the University of Memphis for a publication I cannot name. He joins me now. John, how are you?
What's up, my friend?
How's your mental health check?
Oh, we're good. You don't have to do this anymore.
No. Out of the woods.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic's over.
What was the stat? I was listening, as I do, as I drive away. I always listen to the Open, certainly, and then usually for the whole 3 hours.
And then you give up. That's fine. That's okay.
But I always listen to the Open. No, and then I often walk the pups after that, and so I listen in then, too.
Anyway, you can get us on radio.com.
You had some stat about the blank number of states have opened for 3 weeks, and they're down blank number of cases.
Yeah.
Blank number percentage. What was that stat, and what was it from?
It was from Funstrat. I got to go find it. But it was it was a healthy number. I want to say it was in the 30s. It was like 34 states have reopened and
3 weeks,
you know, and they're seeing their numbers go down.
Now, mind you, here in Memphis, Tennessee, our numbers are not going down. That is our numbers. Whatever you want to say, our numbers are not going down. They are,
but our testing is ramping up.
Right, and the truth of the matter is, I think we're to the point now, aren't we? Maybe if we're stable, we're cool.
Like, absolutely.
If we're stable and can keep doing the things we're doing, you know, the high schools are now, Covington High School is practicing football, right? And and game day is, in Cordova, is hosting massive tournaments. And Snowden Grove, by the way, this weekend is having a baseball tournament, 100 teams from 8 states. This is Snowden Grove in Mississippi, of course. So they're having a tournament. Christian Brothers University has announced how they are going to come back. They're going to come back to do the sort of bring people back early, be done by fall break thing that Notre Dame is doing. People are starting to emerge.
It was 13 states have been open for more than 3 weeks, and these 13 states have seen daily cases fall 29% to whatever.
So because of that, your mood is good?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much over it. I don't really care anymore. I'm all out of F's to give, honestly. I'm going to take my precautions. You know, I'm going to wear my mask when I go out.
Do you wear your mask when you go out?
Yeah. Like to the grocery store and stuff, yeah.
Okay. You're going to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to do it just because I don't feel like I don't want people to give me the stink eye, you know?
That's why you're doing it. You know what? In the end, it doesn't matter. If that's why...
Yeah, it doesn't matter why I'm doing it.
The mask won't try to gauge your motivations for why you're wearing it in terms of whether it's doing its job or not. If you have the virus, it won't say, yeah, he's only doing this so he doesn't get the stink eye, so therefore I'm not going to do my job.
Yeah.
The mask doesn't
care. I think it's a little kooky, you know? Not gonna lie, it doesn't offend me like it offends some people.
Don't acknowledge that maybe one reason that the numbers are stable even as we are opening up is that in fact a lot of people are taking precautions?
It could definitely be a big part of it. I don't rule that out, but it's just hard to know, you know.
And here's what I really don't understand about masks are so I went in I wear a mask to the grocery store. It is funny how you're shaped by perception, okay? So I went out for a drink last night with my boss, okay? And we met at your favorite place, Brookhaven. Brookhaven, the employees wear masks, but like no one in the – there weren't many people there, I'll be honest. And no one there was like in a crowd was wearing a mask. And there you're looked at a kook if you wear a mask as opposed to if you're not, right? And so just to walk past the three people at the door to a table outside table, and there was like, there were maybe three of the 30 tables were occupied. It was totally wide open, right?
Yeah.
I did not put on my mask at any stage of those proceedings.
Well, okay, like think about how damn stupid you look, you know, messing with your mask just so you could bite your chicken tenders.
You don't look...
Putting it back on. I mean, and I'm not even sure if that's effective anymore at that point.
I think it's respectful to your server. Like, it is respectful. Your server's coming over with her mask on. We had a woman server, and she has her mask on, and it is respectful to your server. and thoughtful to your server to when you are saying, I'll have the chicken tenders, to have your mask on.
Well, okay. All right. That's
but
fine.
It is outside. It was outside.
Where, as we know, you cannot get the virus outside.
You can, but it's less...
No, you can't.
You can.
You can't. It's impossible.
John, don't take that back. Don't spread misinformation on my radio show.
Okay, I'm sorry. You guys, you can, but it's unlikely.
It is less likely. Certainly, if you take precautions and social distance, it is less likely. All right, so you're over it. So, Musa...
Hydroxychloroquine.
We're going to have to fact check you like we fact check the president from now on.
Like I always say, Republicans, I feel like they feel like they're silenced on social media.
Right. And so I'm going to start fact checking. I'll just start popping into the Jason and John show with fact checks occasionally. Anyway, Musa Cisse is...
Lamestream.
Is reclassifying. He has announced that he is reclassifying. This comes as no surprise to you, does it?
No, I mean, even you knew this. I mean,
honest, the head coach at Lausanne is going to be disappointed.
He is shocked.
Yeah.
This guy can't believe his misfortune.
He thought Musa was working to come back.
When he got the call today, he dropped the phone.
Right.
No, I mean, that was always... I didn't understand. I mean, he was like just being political or he genuinely believed that Musa was coming back. It made no sense for Musa to come back ever. There was just no defense.
How is it possible, by the way, that every kid who wants to get eligible can just speed up for a damn year? Like, with all due respect, like if Peter had just said...
Oh, because you put these kids, I mean, these athletes are on a different curriculum, man.
Like, Peter, I don't think could have graduated a year early. If he just decided at this time last year, you know what? I think I'll take my diploma and go home. I don't think he could have done it. Like, well, how can every kid who wants to, quote-unquote, reclassify, and with all due respect, every one of them isn't a genius, right? Some of them might be very smart, but every one isn't. I've never known anyone who wants to reclassify who hasn't gotten it done.
Well, Jeff, I do want to tell you about the inequities in life. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, some kids get preferential treatment.
Well, I just wondered, like, I literally wonder, like, because you can't just make up classes for them. Anyway, okay, so Moose is going. Is he? I had said earlier.
Oh, Lausanne, man.
I had said earlier that he seemed unlikely to go to Memphis, but I've been getting texts while I've been on the air saying, don't count Memphis out. Should I count Memphis out?
Interesting. Oh, no. Definitely don't do that.
Okay,
don't
good.
Do anything like that.
I certainly won't then count them out.
Don't count them out, but you
don't
know.
Don't count them in.
Don't edit your Musa Cisse graphic yet, you know, with a Memphis uniform, you know? I think if there's anybody that can turn a recruitment in the late stages, it is Penny Hardaway. You know, we've seen that happen time and time again. And it's also gone the other way, but Penny is a very compelling guy when he prioritizes a recruit. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so would it shock me at all if Memphis were able to get it done between now and next week? Not at all. Not at all, honestly. He's here in Memphis. You know, Penny's got relationships with a lot of people that are around Musa, you know, so it would not shock me at all. And I would definitely not say Memphis is out. I would not count them out. But would I say that he is likely to go to Memphis? No, I would not say that.
I think he had seven, right? Didn't he have seven in his final list?
It's LSU, Florida State, Memphis, Georgetown, Kentucky, and Georgia, I think, however many that is.
Okay. And who are the leaders in the club? If it's not Memphis, where's he going?
Well, I mean, I think the main schools that you're talking about with Musa are Memphis, LSU, and Florida State.
And you think all of those are reasonable? You won't be shocked if he goes to any of those schools?
Yeah, like I think all of them are reasonable. Yeah, I mean...
Would you be shocked if he goes to any school other than those three?
Yeah, I'd be pretty shocked if he goes to any school other than those three, yep.
Okay.
I would probably be as shocked as Marvis Davis.
How good is he? Because... I've had my scout, Peter, out there and on site. And is this a dude like...
Now, Peter is an editor. Like, he's an opinion guy.
I don't want to speak for him. So this is moving on. I'm just asking you a question. Skull, product of Lausanne, now wasn't able to get on the court of Lausanne, but still another IB guy who was interested in the education in Lausanne, goes to Kentucky, tall man, has kind of a disappointing career, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
Is Musa going to have that? Is Musa going to be
that? No, because Musa, you know, Skull was a really gifted offensive big. Like, he was just, I mean, I'm telling you, I remember watching him in, at that time, M33 in practices and thinking, like, I've never seen a guy this big who can run the floor like he can, who can shoot the way he can, who's just, I mean, and he had put muscle on, and he was, from a physical perspective, he was just absolutely absurd. But, you know, once the game started, you know, it was a little bit harder for him. He struggled with guys who were strong, you know, guys who body him up a little bit, and maybe he was a little bit out of position at Kentucky. I mean, there's just no two ways about it with Musa. I mean, he's already physically there. I mean, the guy is, you know, he just turned 17, but he looks like he's 25. And he knows exactly who he is, you know. He's not going to be a guy that's going to try to score 18 a game. He's a rim runner who's going to run up and down the floor, who's going to block shots. He's going to he averaged like friggin' six blocks a game. You bring him in as a friggin' Patrick Ewing type. Like, he's just going to erase shots. And, you know, the offense probably isn't there, but
more as a, let's be honest, more as a Dikembe Mutombo type. Patrick Ewing was a fearsome offensive force, honestly.
Yeah. He developed into that for sure. Okay, so
much
we can go
of Mutombo.
We can go with Mutombo. He is a Mutombo type who just will change the game for you defensively. Like, to me, he's almost like, I look at him as an inverse James Wiseman, whereas James defensively was serviceable. Like, he could help defensively.
James was serviceable defensively?
Yeah, James was a serviceable defender. He wasn't known for his defense, though. He was known for what he could do.
No, but that's also because he could do it all. He would block shots.
He would block. He was 7 foot. Of course he'd block shots. But he was really – his upshot to me was what he could do for you as an offensive guy. That's just me. I think with Musa, it's all about defense with him. It's all about what he brings defensively, his athleticism defensively. I mean, there are shots, there are plays he made last year where he just literally just takes the ball out of
right,
the air.
His hands, right. And the truth of the matter is he'd be perfect for this team. Just perfect for this team.
Me and Jason call him the vaccine.
Right. I realize that. Because, as a loyal listener, I realize that. Because he can fix everything. He can fix the
ball. Right.
He
would help us get back to normal.
For a team that let's be honest, it's weird that we think of them as having too many shooters or too many when they're as bad as they were offensively last year. It's weird that the vaccine. Let me ask you this: what ailed this team last year?
Offense? Well,
no, but what was the which was the bigger problem? Offense or defense?
Offense, of course.
Exactly. They were the best defensive team in the country, and it is weird to think that the vaccine that will fix the Memphis program is not skilled, but is a fabulous defender. Isn't that a little weird?
No, there's not. It's not weird because first of all, you lost Precious. Okay, you lost a huge guy in terms of production. You know, a 15-10 guy who you know you really kind of ran your offense through, right? So you lose him, and also, you know, when you have a guy in Musa Cisse who is just a threat at the rim every single time, he does open things up for you. They just don't have a guy like this on the roster. I mean, they just, you know, they have I look at their roster. They got DeAndre Williams. They got DJ Jeffries. They got Boogie and Lester, and they got Alo. Like, they actually have a pretty good 5-6 deep right now. You add Moose to that mix, maybe you get Landers and Ollie Ellsworth, who the hell knows. You know, I think you're talking about a really, really nice season.
For granted, by the way, that they're going to get a waiver.
I think they'll get a waiver for DeAndre Williams.
Wouldn't you have thought they would have gotten a waiver for Isaiah Stokes?
I would have thought that, but also, you know, he didn't play last year or the year before that, you know. So, and he didn't miss, you know, he didn't, I mean, I guess he did miss some games, but, you know, there seems to be a lot more to the story with DeAndre Williams, you know. So, you know, I think given the fact that the guy played for three coaches in 1 year, the odds would be in his favor.
Okay, give me this team. No Landers Nolly, but you got DeAndre Williams and you got Musa.
Yeah.
Should I pencil in Final Four?
I mean, I think you can pencil in second weekend.
I'm not penciling Final Four. That's ridiculous. You think I can pencil in second weekend?
I think you can pencil. Like, I'm not saying write it in, you know, permanent marker, but I think you can. I mean, I think, listen, Boogie's going to take a huge step. DJ's going to take a big step. Lester's percentages are going to go up. You know, DeAndre Williams averaged 15 a game last year. So, you know, that's proven.
What's the starting backcourt next year?
Boogie, Lester, and DJ.
Boogie as the point guard.
Oh, for sure. I mean, did you watch the games last year?
I did watch the games last year. He struggled. Okay, he struggled early.
But then you know what? They put the ball in his hands.
Yes, exactly right.
I mean, that's what he is. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what he
I mean, there. So he's going to be the point guard. And I know, like, when they came to Memphis, like, they didn't want to do that. Like, they wanted to kind of play off the ball, right? But the reality of the situation is, man, you are at your best when you are making plays with the ball in your hand. Like, you just are natural at it. You know, and Lester's percentages last year weren't great, but there's more to his game than I think what we saw last year. I think he can take a step. So I think they're going to be a relevant team in the AAC for sure. If they get DeAndre Williams, you know, eligible, which I believe they will, then they'll have a chance in the AAC. You add Musa to that. I don't know if you probably are the favorite in the AAC. I think you probably do take over Houston at that point.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.